Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
And we're glad to be joined once again by Micah Branson. Micah, how are you doing today?
Hey, familiar folks.
We're just going to have to call you our third co-host.
I like this. Nobody's got a video camera on me.
That's what we like, too.
You can wear a beanie and a flannel and you guys just, you know.
And I've told this before, it's pre-recorded, too. That's what I like. No video and pre-recorded, but... Pastor Margaret, would you like to tell what we're going to be talking
about? Sure. Well, I just have to say, if we're going to talk about what everybody's wearing, I don't have a beanie on, but I have a baseball cap on. It says Rooted in Love. You know, it's a pretty good message.
When you walk in the room, I think. It's pink, too, so you can't help but notice this.
You can't miss it. And, of course, if you had one guess as to what Grayson is wearing, and it has to do with baseball, I think everybody would know.
Hotlanta.
World championship. It's funny. This we don't have time for this, but sure this was a sweatshirt I walked in the day after they won in 2021, and Edie Adams, who was Pastor Margaret's assistant at the time, how'd you get one so quick? I said, well, it says World Series, not World Series champs. I said, this was when they won the NLCS to make it to the World Series. So.
Didn't notice that detail myself.
Nor did I. Who's surprised? It is good to be in the room today, and I'm going to start out today, and I'm going to share a story, and just to kind of introduce, I mean, this is all about story and testimony and our lives, what we face as believers, hard things come at us, and God has given us ways to combat the things that come at us, and he's given us bodies that are kind of like, you know, when your car needs an oil change or you're starting to lose pressure in your tires, you have warning lights. And God has been gracious enough to make our bodies in a way that they give us some warning signs. We need to pay attention to something. And so we'll talk about a little bit of what that looks like. We actually have a little acronym today that we'll share, and we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. But sometimes we just find ourselves in grief, and how do you deal with that? And what does it look like? And so a year ago, 2 weeks prior, my dad had passed away. And so I was going through all of that grief. And then we had a few people on our staff resign. And it was grief for me because they were my friends. And I'm just burdened this particular morning. And I just fell to my knees in my living room because I was filled with grief and I was really hurting. And I just went to the Lord with all of the pain and the grief, confusion, all of it. And as I laid that down, as I cast those burdens at the feet of Jesus, God spoke over me. And I don't say that, I mean, it doesn't happen real often, but when you hear a word or a message, it has such power. And so God spoke those words over me. It's two words that I think changed the trajectory of my year and maybe the rest of my life. It was just that powerful. And they were simply and profoundly this: it's okay. Not it's going to be okay, but it's okay. And when he spoke that over me, it was like multiple backpacks fell off of my back. Like the burden that I was carrying of that and the weight of that, it just felt like backpacks, multiple, slid off of me to the point it was so freeing that I jumped straight to my feet. And the burden was gone. The weight of the world was lifted off, and the heaviness was just replaced with the peace that passes all understanding. It's the only way I can really explain it. And so those two words, it's okay, have resounded for the last year over me. And I look at it a year later, and it's okay. You know, I still have grief. I still miss my dad. I still, you know, all of the things. But that day, in that moment, taking that to the Lord and him giving me that, I didn't lose all the pain, but some of the hurt went away that day that I was carrying. And so maybe you all have things dealing, like that.
Dealing with a pain, like, I mean, it's okay to feel pain. It's how we handle it, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to be careful not to say things that we don't mean or that we'll regret. Or even if we do mean them, maybe we shouldn't say them.
So we got this acronym. Do you mind if I take that cat out of the bag?
Absolutely.
Because it dovetails well with yesterday for me. So I get this text from them, and I'm always like, what's the topic? Not that it matters, because just give me a topic and I can talk. We'll talk about it. But Grayson came back with, we're going to talk about the heart check, which I had visited earlier this week, written down my thoughts. But the acronym is checking yourself for the acronym HEART. Are you hurting, exhausted, angry, resentful, or tense? And I had to laugh yesterday when I got that, because yesterday I had to do my own heart check. I was running some errands. I had one of my best friends with me and my two kids. Took the wrong exit off the interstate, just not even thinking. Took a look around. Nobody was watching. So I took a left turn into an unauthorized vehicle place to turn around and get back on the interstate. And guess what?
Blue lights.
I got nailed for it. Now, anyone that knows me knows that I have a number of tickets in my life. And if I were the judge, I would probably look at my record and say, oh, she needs the worst, because she just cannot learn. I'm never in a hurry. I'm usually just not paying attention. So I get pulled over again. And this young man was so nice to me. But I'm driving a newer vehicle, which has been a lifelong dream and is such a blessing. And I hand him my registration, which has someone else's name on it. It's been a couple of weeks. I didn't know it. I have the updated one in the fireproof safe at the office. And so when he comes back, he starts questioning me hard, right? Like, you know,
oh my goodness,
you did this unsafe thing, which I'm, you know, talking to you about, but also, like, this doesn't match up. And I don't know what snapped in me, but I looked at him and I said, just give me the ticket. Give me two tickets. I don't know. And for the first time in my life, like, I felt like, wow, I didn't speak to him with respect, you know, and it burdened my soul the rest of the day. I was upset with myself and experiencing and saying frustrations out loud of like how trivial this is. And so, you know, my friend had to hear that. My kids heard that. And I go home last night and I was burdened by it, because it was not my normal response. And so I'm laying in bed and I'm like basically like doing the heart check on this, because I'm, you know, got Grayson's text, and I'm like, yeah, I had to check myself today. Am I hurting, exhausted, angry, resentful, and tense already? Yes, I already was. And then so I was asking God to unburden me of these things individually, right? And I just felt like when I went to God with that, it was like David saying, create in me a clean heart. Mm. And, you know, we are given a roadmap of how to pray, and it's go behind closed doors, by yourself, your posture matters, and that's exactly where I was. And it was like God revealed to me this. He's like, how many tickets have you gotten away with, Micah, every single day of your life? I had a friend that got a ticket for touching his phone at a red light. How many of us have done that? Like, check the phone.
Yeah.
That's illegal. How often do you speed, Micah? More than I even know about. And then God gave me this realization that how guilty am I every single day of my life of sin, and sins I don't even think of. Like, I might be burdened by some, I might not be looking at some others. And it was like you said with the backpack, I had backpacks just come off of me and say, that was Jesus' sacrifice, was for all those sins that you were burdened by, but also the ones you don't even realize you're doing. So that was a powerful heart check last night in my own life. So thanks for asking.
Did you get a ticket?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Can't prepay it. Got to go appear in court and relive it. Yep, that'll be fun. But then I thought this thought too. It's like God revealed to me this. You know, you're driving in some snow or whatever. You know, maybe there's a reason I took a wrong turn, and He was protecting me from something I don't see.
Yeah.
And so we don't know what His ways are.
Yeah.
But His provision is always there, even if it looks like something we don't want.
Yeah.
So true. It is so true. Yeah, I think that when we think about the things that we, there's a scripture that talks about not letting the sun go down on your anger. Like, there's a reason. Because do we want to carry that? Because we tend to, when we sleep, our brain kind of resets, and sometimes I don't think we remember everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the way I'm.
Yeah. I don't like to go to bed angry.
No, I don't either. But there's, you know, when we think about having our heart checked, you know, and thinking about warning lights that God gives us, that something might be off spiritually, emotionally, or physical. you know, and I think about the pain that people carry. Are we hurting? You know, that's heavy, even physically. I was just recently was listening to a lady, and she was talking about this very thing. She said when she was about 5 years old, her mother had rheumatoid arthritis, and she ended up taking care of her mom a lot of years. And then she was diagnosed with it herself after a very traumatic situation that went on for about 3 years in her marriage. And she said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, told me I had rheumatoid arthritis. And she said, my first thought was my mom laying in that bed all those years. And she's like, I said, God, we got to do something about this. Like, I don't want this. And so she changed the way she ate. She changed the way she exercised. She changed a lot and prayed a lot, which she testifies to living these today without having pain. Her hands aren't crippled. She said she found this book, and I don't know anything about the book, so this is not an advertisement for the book, but the title of the book was Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. And she said in that book was, and among the list of those things that can affect us physically, was from pain that we don't deal with, was rheumatoid arthritis. And so the things that we go through in life have the ability, if we don't deal with them, and I'm not saying that if you deal with it a certain way, all your pains will go away, but things are brought on by some of the things that we face and the things that we go through.
That book title is kind of like a mic drop for me, and I realized looking at this heart check thing that I'm a master of just, you know, shoving it down, right? And so I have this little ball Grayson asked about with me today. It's a lacrosse ball, which I know nothing about. Might have jumped on a horse one time and done pole lacrosse. That was kind of fun, but I know nothing about this. But I was in a sports store yesterday and getting something that my daughter needed for softball. And I guess the guy who owns the store overheard my conversation with my friend about using a tennis ball when you have, like, pain in your back. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm using it in my seat right now. And he's like, oh, the lacrosse ball is better. So he gave me one to take with me with my purchase. But he overheard that and recognized that hurting. Mm. I don't take care of those things. And it's actually ridiculous the amount of time that I will repress, particularly physical pain or exhaustion or being angry or not having good boundaries. And so I would become resentful after a while when people constantly are overstepping. And then there's a tenseness that comes in those relationships too. So, like, all of these things can come from those buried feelings, yeah, whether physical or mental.
You know, I was in the chiropractor's office a few years ago, and he said to me, he said, as a person of faith, he said, I would not think that you would carry this much tension. What he was saying was that I should have enough faith not to allow life to land in my shoulders, right. You know. But the way I find myself sometimes not dealing is all of a sudden my shoulders are kind of up around my ears, you know, before I realize, oh my goodness, I'm holding some tension. And it wasn't too long ago, I was at the dentist office, and she goes, I'm thinking you might have to get a night guard because I think you're grinding your teeth. And I'm like, what? You know, and it's these things that we do. We take on things that our body goes, hey, there's something that you haven't worked all the way through here. And I know what those things are, right? Like, if we look at a list of, are we hurting? Are we exhausted? Are we having trouble sleeping? Are we carrying anger? Am I resentful? Or am I tense, like my chiropractor reminded me of, in my shoulders?
The enemy wants to take that script and make it about you and make it not good enough, right?
Right.
Like, if you were a better Christian, just because you're a pastor or you work on staff at a church, or I've been putting out a verse of scripture with my husband every Sunday, doesn't mean that we don't share those same life struggles. Right. But I think there's a couple things. We have a roadmap to the Father to bring this baggage to Him, and He wants to take it from us. And we also are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And I feel like that's both here and in heaven.
Yeah.
Right.
They're spurring us on to victory, the eventual victory.
Yeah.
But then we're surrounded by people here who can edify us and lift us up out of that.
Yeah. Well, as believers, the kingdom of heaven it's an already but not yet. And the not yet is heaven, but the already is here. So you're talking about the cloud of witnesses. There are a cloud of witnesses that are already in heaven, but there are people that have gone through maybe more experience in life than we have that can, you know, we can look to and talk to, and people we trust that can help us.
Yeah. Because there is another way to live. There is another heart check. And so in Isaiah 54, the Lord is speaking to a bunch of exiles. I mean, the Israelites had not done a lot of things right, which we fit pretty well in that category. And
I know I do.
You know, he called them stiff-necked people because, you know, they grumbled. They looked around at what everybody else had, the food they didn't have, the, you know, I don't want manna, I want meat. And there's always something. And now they find themselves in exile. And I just love the fact that this is spoken into them in that place of their hurting. And he says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And, you know, there's so much more that God wants for us in our lives. In Ephesians 3, he says that he has things planned for us that we've never thought or even imagined. And so what is the better way? He wants us to be healed enough from our hurting and whatever that is to speak hope into other people's lives and to believe it for ourselves, to speak hope in, at home, at church, in the workplace, in the world. And so there's this other heart check that is spells out heart, but it's hopeful and excited. And here's one. It kind of sticks out at me, apologetic. You know, we have to be willing to say we're wrong when we're wrong, which is a really good thing. Might be hard, but it's good. And then rested and trusting. So it's hopeful, excited, apologetic, rested and trusting. And this is where I believe the Lord would love for us to live and to celebrate. It helps us to be, we do need to look at the hard stuff and we need to have that heart check. But we also, I think especially in this day and time, when there's so much in our world, it leaves us asking lots of questions and maybe there's some confusion. And I think I've said this before on Hope Talks, but in Isaiah 6, the seraphim are calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so I believe that's still true. It depends on where we're looking. And we have to look at the hard things. We have to deal with the things that are hard. But we also have the opportunity as believers to have hope and excitement. We can apologize to people. I think that's really important. We can be rested. He can give us that peace that can help us with that. And we can trust that God knows exactly where we are. It's not lost on him. And so, yeah, heart check. Hopeful, excited, apologetic, rested, and trusting. Michael, what do you think?
So I think I love the verse that you just talked about, the saying lengthening the tent stakes. And then I go to, like, what does that look like in our lives and how we're called? Mm. And I keep going back to Jeremiah 29 and prior to Jeremiah 29:11, which is what everybody wants to quote, you know, here are my plans for you, the best for you. Prior to that, God is speaking to the exiles. Mm-hmm. And I think in today's world, maybe you're not where you want to be. Maybe you're not happy with the situation you find yourself in. Mm-hmm. The exiles certainly weren't. Did they deserve it? Probably. But they were still grumbling about, you know, the circumstance they find themselves in. But in Jeremiah 29:5, the Lord gives a clear roadmap to how we're called to live when we're not home. And we're citizens of heaven, allowed to bring God's glory to earth. But when we're here, and verse 5 starts out with, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, get married, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and let your daughters get married so they can have sons and daughters. Grow in number there, don't decrease. Work for the good of the city where I've taken you as captives, and pray to the Lord for that city. When it prospers, you will also prosper. Mm-hmm. And another version of that is work for the welfare of where you're at, because your welfare depends upon. Mm-hmm. May we never forget that that's our charge to when we're living in captivity.
Yeah. Right.
Or living in a place that we didn't choose. Right.
This isn't our home. We're just passing through.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I love that. And just recently, I shared some out of Jeremiah 29, actually earlier, at Celebrate Recovery. And I read the scripture that comes after Jeremiah 29:11 and after, because I think even when things are as they are and we're living in a world where people are asking a lot of questions, and I think they're asking a lot of questions of God and wondering, where's God in all of this, right? And I'm going to share this, and I'm going to share it in the Passion Translation. If you prefer not to hear it in the Passion Translation, you can pick up your Bible and read it in another one. But I just feel like this, to me, captures God's heart for his people, even when maybe we are our worst enemy. We can't forgive ourselves for something. We feel like we failed. Will God forgive me, or how will I ever rectify this? And I've been there. And so I just know that those are real feelings. And so I want to read starting in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "Here's what Yahweh says to you. I know all about the marvelous destiny I have in store for you, a future planned out in detail. My intention is not to harm you, but to surround you with peace and prosperity, and to give you a beautiful future, glistening with hope. When you call on me and come to me in prayer, I will listen to your every word. If you reach out to me, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will not disappoint you, declares Yahweh. All that you have lost, I will restore. And I will regather you from all the nations where I've scattered you. I will bring you back home to the land from which I exiled you, declares Yahweh." And so I just think that's beautiful, that even when the Israelites were hurting, right, in our kind of our first list, and God sends them a message to, hey, you're where you are now. Make your home there and plant gardens. Have a family. Be about the welfare of your city, because your welfare depends on it. And then he tells them that he has these great plans for them. People that, you know, probably are like, here we are, you know, is there any future? And he tells them that it is. And he turns that heart check into something hopeful, excitement for them.
Being present in the present.
Yeah, and realizing, all that you have lost, I will restore.
Yeah.
Like that's...
restore with the locusts of Eden, like the scripture says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, all that you have lost, I will restore. And he has that plan for us. Yeah. Things we've never thought of or imagined. Same today.
He's the same God yesterday, yep, today, and forever.
That's right.
What are your thoughts, Micah?
She's smiling.
I was thinking, man, I could be 18 again. All you have lost, I will restore.
It's funny that you say that, because at the time of this recording, the day before, I saw a social media post where there's this couple. He's a pastor now on a church on a Nazarene district up on my dad's district in Philadelphia district, and I went to college with him and his wife, and it was her birthday, and he's wishing her happy birthday. And he said, "And I'll go along with the kids. You look good for 19. And I commented, and I said, "Well, I said, happy birthday, such and such." And I said, "She probably was 19 when you met her back at that one-act play in college."
I mean, if that doesn't get you hopeful, I don't know what does. The restoration. But that looks different for God than it does for us.
It really does. And we don't understand everything.
It's immeasurably more.
Yeah.
Well, in heaven, we'll have new bodies, so.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got to be apologetic to get there. It's called repentance. Yeah.
That was the one when Pastor Margaret shared this with the staff. I mean, obviously, you have to be apologetic to have a healthy heart, but it seemed out of place with the other words. And Pastor Margaret paired us each up with a staff member, and me and the person I was talking with, they said, yeah, but that's kind of like humbling yourself, being apologetic, humbling yourself.
It's coming under authority. Our admission to God is also our submission to him.
But I think that we have, in our relationships, if we can't be apologetic, I mean, that's a gift to be able to go back when we see we've done something. To be able to go back and say, hey, I was wrong. It's a reconciliation. You know, it's an opportunity to reconcile. We can't do anything other than that. We can't make someone else reconcile right or be apologetic. But our role is, you know, search my heart, O God, and see that there's nothing in me, I can't go, well, just search somebody else's heart.
Right.
You know, I can only search my own. You know, I can only ask God to search my own.
That's kind of my thoughts. I think Micah and I were talking about this a little bit before the broadcast. I was saying it might not even be a right or wrong thing. It could be a thing where both people need to apologize, but you can only apologize for yourself. You can't apologize for somebody else. I mean, they have to apologize.
It's for about our heart health. It's about our emotional, spiritual, and physical health. We can be a role model, and we can, but we're responsible for ourselves.
It's making me picture, you know, the apology, the forced apology when you've wronged your sibling, your parent.
I'm sorry.
Parent sets you up and says you will hug, you will shake hands, you will apologize, and it's forced upon you. How much more powerful is that apology when you come to that person on your own and say, hey, I see you.
Yeah.
And God wants us to recognize him in that fashion.
And in that, and I don't know how it works because I'm not God, but in our obedience and in the Israelites' obedience, he's saying, hey, I've got more for you, where you're going to have to lengthen your stakes. You're going to have to enlarge your tent. There's more than you have any idea that I have for you, but your role is what he calls us to do. Love God and love our neighbor as ourselves.
Right.
So what does that look like? Andrew Murray prayed this, Lord, reveal your holiness and my unholiness.
Kind of like looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
I got a cup of coffee today. Actually, it's a dirty chai. That was really good. But it had scripture written on it. Happened to be Matthew 5:8. And I'm like, oh, that's definitely from the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. It's definitely one of those, you know, blessed are. Yeah. And I was like, I think it's the blessed is the pure in heart.
For they will see God.
You're right. Precisely, that's what that is. And it's interesting that God has put that in front of me several times in my life. Actually, it would have been 2013. I had actually had a miscarriage, and that happened on a Monday. Flew to Florida on a Wednesday. This was already planned and in place to play softball, this World Series tournament, and kind of worked my way back into playing a little bit because I lost a little blood. And, I had been surrounded by this team of amazing people who lifted me up. And they were pure in heart.
Wow.
And just had this provision around me for these people to walk with me through this. And then on Saturday morning, this is the verse, you know, in the middle of this tournament that I wake up to, and it's, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we ended up losing a game we shouldn't have, ended up double dipping the undefeated team, and went in this tournament out of like 90 teams. It was a wild ride. It was so much fun. But that was the first time God had really brought that verse to my attention, and it keeps coming up, and I had that on my cup of coffee this morning. And so that pure in heart is mourning more to me today as an ability to see my own sin clearly. Mm-hmm. So for him to say, you know, like, how much have you gotten away with, Micah? Like, I'm seeing how much my debt is. Mm-hmm. And getting to gratefully be the woman who walks in that every day instead of the what I've done, it's the what I've been forgiven of. And that greater debt means I get to love him more.
Right. Yeah,
it's true. Yeah. You know, on our own, this isn't possible, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We can't do this.
Right.
You can't live a godly life without God, without the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And so I think just to wrap this up today, I'll just wrap it up with a scripture from 2 Peter 1:3. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness.
Yeah.
All for his glory, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We can't do it on our own, and we don't do it for ourselves, but we know that there's a reason that we have to have a balanced heart check.
Yeah.
We have to balance the good with the bad, and it will help us. And so I hope for those listening today that this has been a half-hour hope for your life, and that in listening that God maybe has brought something up in your life, and you're trying to, you know, pray about that. And I know that he will work it out in beautiful ways. As he said, if we seek him with all of our heart, that he will be found by us.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation today. Micah, thank you for joining us. It's been great to have you.
It's been enjoyable to be here and dive deeper.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as Pastor Margaret and I have talked with Micah Branson today about doing a heart check, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.